Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The sacrifice I desire of you this morning is your heart. Give me your heart, your whole heart, all of your heart, for that is what I desire.
Steve read a scripture, what God really desires from us. I think we have a tendency, we want to move so bad, we just kind of try to work it up. But really what he wants is not our sacrifices. He even likes for you to come to church on Sunday, but even that's not what he really wants. He wants your heart. He wants that broken, contrite heart, and that's where the move comes from. I was reading in Zechariah early this morning on my porch. The children of Israel are wanting to rebuild the wall. That'll get you into a works mode. We just need to work harder. If we just get enough people and do enough stuff, then we can do this thing. And they were a little discouraged, and God was wanting them to do it, but they tried, and after, I think it was like 16 years, they just kind of stopped. And this is what the prophet said to Zerubbabel. He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace." Brian was telling me a story in the prayer room. He was in Israel recently. And they took him to a site where King Herod had built a palace, I guess. And he wanted a certain view. And he liked this particular view, but he wanted the mountain on the other side of his palace to be taller. So he ordered a bunch of people to go take the dirt off one mountain and make the other mountain bigger. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard? It's not crazy to me, because I see us doing it all the time. We keep making the mountains bigger. We keep adding to them. I'll tell you what, God is speaking a word to the children of Israel that, listen, I know this task is hard and difficult, but you won't do it in your own strength. And I know it seems like a mountain to you. And sometimes you're crazy enough to make your mountain bigger. You keep adding to it all the time, keep adding more junk to it. So listen, I want you to speak grace to that mountain. And when you speak grace to it, now, two things can happen. One, that mountain can totally be removed. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain. It'll jump right into the sea. I like that. That's what I want. How about you? Or it could be, because the Spirit of God is within me, I don't care about the mountain. It will be like a plain to me, and I'll cross right over it. I'll cross right over it. And some of us, we built these mountains ourselves. They're all man-made. God's wanting us to speak grace to it today. Amen? It's not by your might. It's not by, if we could just roll a little harder, work a little harder. God's saying, why don't you stop? I want your heart. I'm breaking your heart so I can do a wonderful work in your life. And just rest. Some of you need to hear that today. You come in here huffing and puffing. So stop and just sit down. Let God take your heart, and he'll do a great work today in you. And that mountain that you're all worried about, say, oh, Pastor, I got more than one mountain. I got a bunch of mountains. That doesn't matter. They will become like a plain to you, and you can just speak grace to it. For the children of Israel, it was this impossible task of rebuilding the walls in the city. They would eventually do it, but it wouldn't be in their own strength. So the word of the Lord to us today is, listen, just yield to me. Give your heart to me. All this other stuff is peripheral. But I want you. I want your heart. And if you'll rest in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who needs to hear that today? Receive it in your heart. Father, we are your church and we've gathered in this place. We're so grateful to have our friends with us today, all the way from Tanzania. And what a work you're doing around the world. And we're part of it. We are part of it. This is incredible. And all that we see, we are acknowledged as we step back and look. We will agree. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by your Spirit. Breathe on us today, your Spirit. Renew us, refresh us. For the task that's at hand is bigger than us. And we speak grace. Why don't you just say it with me today, would you? Just say it. Grace. 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 I wrote something in my Bible. I don't know when I wrote it. It said, grace isn't permission to live any way I want. It's power to overcome. It's power to overcome. Father, I thank you today for your church that's gathered in this place. We love coming together. And you made us that way. We just like being with each other. That's the way your church is. And no matter where we come from, even halfway around the world, we're connected in you. And you brought us together by this great work of your Spirit in our lives. And Lord, as you have spoken to us clearly today, we just come with our hearts towards you. And we ask you to do your work. And Lord, these mountains around us, they're just plains to us in the Spirit, just plains. And we're speaking grace. And grace, it is the power to overcome. Lord, thank you. We receive it today. In Jesus' name, we love you and we love each other. And everybody said, amen, amen. You can be seated. God bless you. We welcome John and Claire here from Tanzania, and they're going to be sharing with us about the ministry. And before they come, we're just going to pray for them, right? Would you join me? Father, we thank you for John and Claire and the ministry that you have put within their hearts over a decade ago. You planted a seed, and that seed now has grown, and it's amazing. It's hard to even, we like to say this, but I know we shouldn't. It's hard to believe, but Lord, you're changing that for us. Now it's very possible to believe. We've just come to expect great things, and we see it in this story today. Lord, we love you. We love our friends. We are celebrating friendship today in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Put your hands together, will you, and greet our friends as they come to minister to us.
Prepared this. Good morning. We're so thankful to be here with you this morning. My name is Claire Fidelli, and I'm the International Director of SHADE.
Well, my name is John Megila, and I serve as a country director for SHADE in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm. I was here 4 years ago and recognized some of you from then, and it's amazing to see all that God has done over the past 4 years from what I shared last time until now. So I just wanted to talk briefly about that and show you some pictures to testify to what God has done. It's just amazing to see this progress and see people being loved in Jesus' name through SHADE. So we wanted to just give him glory and show that, and hopefully, like Pastor Joe said, to encourage you and that God would speak to your heart about what he wants you to say yes to. So it wasn't anything about us being special. It's just that we were willing and available to God when he asked us to do something. We just said yes. So that's why we're here today. All right. First slide. There you go. So we're with SHADE, and today we're going to talk a little bit about why we're called SHADE. There are three main reasons why we have that name, and so we're going to read a little bit of scripture to explain that and give an update. Is that the first one?
Yeah, so yeah, this is great, and I would just like to say thank you very much. You guys are doing a good job, and I did not know a couple of days ago that you guys are contributing or trying to give so for the children to have a Christmas party, especially the children with albinism and other vulnerable children. On behalf of those children and my staff, they really say thank you very much, and they will be praying for you guys because this is a very good impact. Almost every end of the year, we have this party whereby we have the big music, we try to sing, we praise God, we dance, we eat together with those children, we speak the word of God, and it's just incredible. And it's just because you guys are doing that. And I would like to say that you guys continue doing that, and of course, you're investing something in the kingdom of God, and God will really bless you. And for we, as we continue to serve this, we're always going to be praying for you as well, because we are also in that part, and we are doing a lot to really introduce the kingdom of God. And so we have a lot of funds whenever we meet with these children to have this Christmas party. So God bless you so much, guys.
Next.
Yeah, so we operate in the eastern part of Africa, in this country called Tanzania, in the northern regions, in this region called Shinyanga. Basically, we are much focused on the vulnerable children, including children with albinism. And of course, for a part to understand is that albinism is a biological genetic condition whereby a person is born without, with lack of pigmentation called melanin into the eyes, skin, and hair. And so it's just the fact that because there is this challenge of this situation in the part where we are, and so we have dedicated ourselves to have a campus whereby we could really try to advocate education and all do all these important things for these children. And so basically, born with albinism in my country is a little bit challenge, and this challenge varies from one to another, and mainly because of lack of awareness about the condition itself. And so there are many challenges, but we have the minor challenges, and the ones that are really influenced by lack of awareness is that children with albinism, or we people with albinism, have what is called low vision impairment as a part of physical challenge. And so because we lack pigmentation in our eyes. And so it's really a tragic whenever we went to school or whenever we are just trying to view some different objects, although it varies from one person to another, but it's a little bit of a challenge, especially when kids are at the school. I remember when I was working, when I was studying school, it was a little bit of a challenge sometimes. Teachers did not know how to really help me in one way or the other. And I end up sometimes failed some different exams. Some font sizes are small. I cannot really read because of the impairment. And that's just one of the physical challenges. And it's all arise because of lack of awareness about the condition itself. The other challenge is that we people with albinism have this type of skin, which is very, very easily to be affected by the sun rays. And I have a couple of evidence whereby children and some people that I really know them, it's like they died because of skin cancer because they stayed too much in the sun. They don't know how to take care of themselves. The biggest problems, as you know, it's just lack of awareness about the condition itself. So children do not know that they're supposed to be on the sun. At the end of the day, they get burned, and then at the end of the day, they get, you know, skin cancer and they die. And this is just a very bad challenge. And a part of explaining what we do, Shade, is like because these people need equipment. They need to be protected in one way or the other. And this is one of the things that we're really doing as a part of the ministry in Shade, that we're trying to show up the coverage of how, you know, we can be able to support and protect these children just like our God is the protector. And so these kids, we have different types of facilities and things to really help them so that they can be in a very good platform, especially when they're having education part.
Mm-hmm. And so that is the first meaning of Shade, is just the physical shade. I'm sure all of you have been outside on a hot day and know the importance of getting in some shade or some AC. In Tanzania, where we are, it's usually a tree. You'll see people under trees, all the animals congregate under trees. So to have shade is important, but especially important for people with albinism to stay out of the sun because it's very dangerous for them. So that is the first meaning of shade. Next slide, please. And the second is the spiritual component. So in Psalm 121, it says, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night." And next slide, please. And then in Isaiah 25, it says, "You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat." So this gives imagery of God as our protector. He is our covering. He is watching over us and helping us everything that we go through. And so we are called to do that as well, to provide that protection and that covering for others, especially people with albinism, because they face some danger. Next slide.
And so just as to clarify, is that this challenge of the situation itself for these people with albinism in most part of my country is just so bad, because it happened that when a person with albinism, because people do not know and they have lack of awareness about the condition itself, people tend to do a lot of stupid things and weird things, because it happened that people could go to witch doctors and try to ask them and many things that they could do in a part of like darkness kind of like things. And so what they do is that they find these people with albinism and they try to cut the hands or any other body parts, or try to kill them in one way or the other, to take all those parts, send them to witch doctors, to do all these negative sacrificial things in a sense of like winning elections, you know, being able to have businesses and being able to have jobs, you know, wealth, which of course this doesn't really make any sense. And all arises because of lack of awareness. And it's a very big challenge, and many organizations, different platforms have been trying to really advocate about this condition. And it seems that sometimes it's, you know, it's like they always advance. They always come with different ideas on how to really acquire, to really influence in having all these negative to children or to people with albinism. So all the places in the red areas you see, that is Africa, that is African continent. This problem is not only in my country. This problem exists in other 29 countries in Africa. And so there are reports of attacks and killings. And so it's very dangerous for people with albinism in one way or the other. And that's rise the challenge, because it's all about awareness and understanding about the condition itself and how to really know how to take care of the condition itself.
And so in Isaiah 16, it says, "Give counsel, grant justice, make your shade like night at the height of noon, shelter the outcast, do not reveal the fugitive." So this is the idea now that we are called to do this. We are called to be that shelter like God is for us to other people. And we do that in a few ways at Shade. Next slide. The main thing that we do is we have the Shade Campus. So we're developing this 10.5 acres of land into a place of love and care for vulnerable children and children with albinism. And so our plan is to have a school, homes for children, a clinic, a well, sustainable gardens, play fields, just a place where we can love and care and protect these kids. And so last time I was here, we just had the land, I believe, and a sign saying, "Keep out," something like that. Pastor Joe has a picture of that. But since then, in the last 4 years, a lot has happened. So go ahead. First of all, we drilled a well. So it's a very dry area, but water is life. We didn't even have to drill down too far and had water just overflowing. We actually have like too much water almost. The pressure is so much, we have to have more taps to let it out. So God just providing even more than we need with the water. Next slide. Then we built a first shipping container buildings. This is 5 shipping containers stacked on each other to make our first multi-purpose space with offices and classrooms and a kitchen and bathrooms. And so that is kind of our hub on the land. And then just last year, we built classrooms. We built 2 blocks, so there's 7 new classrooms in total. These are our 2 preschool and kindergarten in this building. So we have 7 classrooms and bathrooms, and that was the minimum requirement for registering a school. So we got officially registered as Shade pre and primary school and opened in January, where we welcomed our first batch of students officially.
Inclusive as well. Mm-hmm.
That is our campus. So we're out in the village of Magobeko, which is about 15 minutes outside of town. So pretty rural area, but we love being in the village and ministering to our community.
What is your favorite food?
I like rice.
I like ugali.
I like fruits.
I like vegetables.
I like banana.
My name is Sebastian. I like rice and beans.
We like Portamelo.
Thank you.
That gives you a little look into Shade Campus and Shade School. we have an inclusive school, so you see kids with and without albinism. So we try to love all children and bring them all together. That's part of our strategy for creating change. Next slide, please. All right, so the third component of why we are called shade comes from Mark 4, and Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he compares it to a grain of mustard, which, though the smallest of all seeds, grows and becomes the tallest tree in the garden and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And so the idea is that we have these small seeds, we have these little tiny, these kids that are often discarded. People don't think they can do very much. They look different. Sometimes their parents just hide them at home, or a lot of times the babies are just killed at birth if they have albinism. People don't understand them and don't think they can do anything. But the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom, than the kingdom of God, where the last is first. And we believe that these tiny seeds, they can grow up to be the biggest trees in the garden. They can be the greatest in the kingdom, and then they can have these branches that provide shade for others. So when they are equipped and empowered and raised up, then they can then multiply the impact, and they can expand the kingdom in their own ways as powerful people for God. So that is the third meaning of shade.
Yeah, so to take care and to see the good way of efficiency and effectiveness to start on the pattern of really helping or supporting is that the good thing is that God is very smart. When God wants to provide and wants to help, he understands different platforms or protocols whereby it's just that little bit kind of like small. People may look as if, you know, it's just something, you know, normal, but at the end of the day, it's just something very big. And this is what we do for a shared ministry. So we take these children, and then we raise them, and we found that the first pattern or the first weapon for these kids to have is education. Like, I am standing here, for those people who do not know me, of course, I have albinism. So I'm a person living with albinism. I don't come from Canada. And so the good thing is that we people with albinism, it's the most very good sharpened equipment that we could have, or sharp weapon that we could have in trying to create change and being a person to make influence in the community or in the families and different platforms. We must have education, and this is what we are doing. So we have many areas that we do, which is education, advocacy, and other community outreach, but we tend to emphasize the first platform, these kids to be educated. And so we have different things that we do to make sure that these kids have a very quality and good education in our campus. Yeah, and so this is a baby class. It just tries to show we have very outstanding facilities that we are using, and we have quality teachers. And have matrons and other cooks and everybody, and we tend to tell them, and they, of course, they all know they, you know, have this positive information to really help these children. And so children have a very wonderful atmosphere, especially inside the class.
We also have a scholarship program, so we want to create sustainability. So we have some kids who can afford to pay to come to a quality private school, and we have other kids that receive a scholarship to come, including kids with albinism, but other vulnerable kids. So, for example, this family, the one that John has his arm on, that little child, her name is Nice, and she is not a child with albinism, but her mom is there in the middle. And so she is in a very vulnerable situation. She lives in that mud house, single parent. The father ran away. So she is in a very poor situation, and so she receives a scholarship to come to Shade School. So we minister to lots of different types of families and kids in our community, including kids with albinism. Mm-hmm.
So the best thing that we do to facilitate, because we know this is education, and so we look onto the other platforms, because if not only education is tiny in the class, but also we know kids need to play around like any other kid. And so children with albinism, of course, they really have time to play outside, especially in Friday, where it's a sports day. And so we now have all these facilities to make sure that at least they're comfortable to stay on the sun for a couple minutes. And so what we recommend is that we always have these big hats, like what you see on the picture, sunshades, big long sleeves uniforms, whereby at least they can have time, because it's recommended for a person with albinism to stay on the sun while they are covered, but not too long, because it's going to get hot. And so this is what we do. But that is that outside part. In the class, we have all these teachers are well-trained, and I am the one taking in charge as a person with albinism in the campus to really make sure that these teachers and other people, they really know this condition, and they really know 100% in ways to really help them impart farming these skills. And so what they do is that these kids sit up on the front because, as I told you, we have low vision impairment, though it varies from person to person. And of course, they use too much of like saying sometimes or talking in the class because we people with albinism have got a very good sense of hearing. And so it's very good for those kids. And the other thing is that we tend to, like, you know, in the class sometimes light can be so high because of the sun. We tend to have these shades or these what we call curtains in different windows so that we may help these children to really feel very comfortable. Out of that, we have a good font size for the children with albinism. We people with albinism sometimes get a little bit harder to read. And so we have these big fonts for the notes, for the books, how these teachers are really helping these kids with albinism in the class, but also we tend to add a little bit more time for the exams, and maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes because they need to read and understand and answer the questions and all those kind of things. So we have a good platform in the class and good platform outside the class, which is just marvelous. And I can guarantee that because I'm the person with albinism and also I've passed a lot of these challenges in the classroom and outside the community. And so I take charge and be the number one person to influence. And of course, I can guarantee that these kids are just having a very good condition right now in our campus.
Mm-hmm. And this shows our strategy for long-term change. We are raising up the next generation to know differently about albinism. Sometimes it's hard to change the mindsets of older people, but these two little kids, Sebastian and Jefferson, are friends sitting in class together, and Sebastian is sharing his sunglasses with his friend, so they look different, but they know that they're both just kids, they're friends, they're together, and so Jefferson will grow up knowing differently about albinism and help change mindsets in that way. We have a bus. Our kids come to school on a school bus, many of them from our village and also from town. They love riding the bus. It's one of their favorite parts of the day. They're so excited to get on it. Next. We also provide two healthy meals each day, so breakfast and lunch. And this is critical for a lot of our students because they don't have enough food at home often. So some come to school on Monday upset and crying, and we realize that they didn't eat over the weekend, and so this helps to take the pressure off of the families and give them some healthy food so that they can be ready to learn. They love to play like any other kid, so our kids are so full of joy and excitement, and we are slowly adding swing sets. We want to make that area covered at some point so that our kids with albinism can stay out longer, but they love to play outside too.
Yeah, and so I have a couple of some short story to tell you. And this boy you see there, his name is Sebastian, the one you just saw on the other slide. And of course, that's her mom. And of course, this is a single parent family. And I got to understand when we were done having a school, it was a time now to try and see how we are going to recruit and have selection of these children with albinism or other vulnerable children to come in our campus. And so I got to know that there was a place whereby this kid was just hidden out inside, and her mom couldn't bring him outside because of all these negative things in the community. And of course, his dad took off, or he ran away from the family immediately after Sebastian was born. And so I went to the family, I talked with the mom. Of course, the mom was very depression, and he was just so negative emotions, and he was so, you know, scary. So the boy could not go to school for about 5 years, just stay inside, although she had a simple knowledge of knowing that his son is very harmful for the kid, that's why the kid will never go out. But also, in the sense of awareness, I really realized that the mom did not know the love of Jesus. She doesn't know the kingdom of God. Like, she was not like kind of like saved, and she did not go to church for many years, although she's a Christian. And so the good part of this is that I always have different time in a daily basis, in a weekly basis after work, going to her and encouraging her and praying together and telling her that don't you worry, this little boy can be more great person. It's just about the matter of time. And what you need to understand is that you need to be close to God and understand all these important things and let the kid, we are going to have and to bring this kid to our campus because he was the first little guy with albinism to be number one candidate in our campus as a child, a child with albinism. And so it was just amazing because the mom was so inspired when looking at me as a person with albinism, with all these things that God has just given me as a gift or a favor from him. And he's just have this inspiration that, are you sure that my son can be like you? Is no one is going to like bully him or whatever, all those kind of things? So, no, we're taking the kid into a very safe place, the place of love and unity and all these kind of things. And so Sebastian became the number one person with albinism, or the kid with albinism in our campus, and now he's in kindergarten. And I can guarantee you guys, just a couple months before flying here in USA, we just got his result, and he's in number one in class, and that is because of having an effectiveness and efficiency of how we really have to take care of this kid. And so by that time, we had a meeting. I remember we had a meeting, the parents' meeting, and so her mom, when she realized that the son was number one, her mom was standing crying in the meeting, and I had to, you know, just tell her that you don't need to cry. Probably you'll cry more because there are more good things yet to come. And so this is what we believe for the strategy, because as when if they're educated and into our campus, that means, you know, they have all these platforms, all these good things. And I can imagine through those people who are rejected, through those people who are hidden outside, God have tried to look after them through people, and then these people have a good environment whereby they're loved, and not only for academic issues, but also they know the love of Christ. We have Bible periods in different times in a weekly basis, whereby these children start to know the kingdom of God and all these things about the gospel. And so it's just very, very amazing. And so we see that light of investing. We see that thing that, you know, we start to see a little bit of those percentages. And I just don't, it's just, I don't, I'm so amazed at what God is going to do when these kids are going to be like done with, you know, primary schools or even secondary schools or even more higher. I just see, because this is just a very good light, like a person with albinism is number one in class. It's just amazing. This is just so, you know, so how God has just, you know, showed up to this kind of situation. And so that's just bring us very positive, and we feel and we know that something great is going to happen in the future, of whereby these kids are going to have this wonderful platform, especially to such campus like Shade, because we know that God has really provided for us, and we are able to provide for others. Mm-hmm. And so in a daily basis, as a person with albinism, I always inspire teachers and other people, the ones we work to, because we encounter many times with these children with albinism. And so I tend to explain what is albinism, what are the challenges for albinism, how to tackle challenges, and so forth. So that picture you see, I was just trying to elaborate that we just need a big heart of the sun, and have these long sleeves so that we can be protected from these sun rays. And it's just trying to advocate. Next slide, please. And so the other things that we all have, these congregations and different meeting and showcases, whereby we use this platform in two ways. We speak and influence and advocate people about the condition itself, and also we use the same platform to praise, to pray, to sing, and to dance, and, you know, to just learn the word of God into that period of time, because we understand that we're Christian faith, and so we need to spread the love of Jesus to people. And mostly out of it, because we always do things in a smart way, in an organized way, we tend not to, of course, we call these older people, like elder ones, to come and we tell them those kind of like information. But then we have discovered that we must have those youth, like 12, 13, 16, 18, 19, 20, whereby they come at our campus. And so we influence this positive information. And of course, I lead that part of advocacy. And what we do is that we believe in some periods of years to come, these youth are going to be parents. So we don't want for them to be surprised to have these children with albinism, because this albinism is just a condition. It's just it's just about God's creation. And so we tell them, we inspire them, and at the end of the day, it has made a lot of big impact, because people, when they come at our campus, they just love those kids. They look very smart, confident, adorable. They speak. It's just amazing. And this is what we do for advocacy part.
And the third thing we do, so we have education, advocacy, and the third thing is outreach. And so one of our main programs is called the Community Club. So we welcome vulnerable youth from our community to come to our campus to learn life skills about Jesus, about albinism, and we teach them how to create change for themselves and their families. And one thing that they learned was how to dye cloth to make this, they call it batiki. And so when we were coming over this way, I asked them if they would make one of these for you all. So they dyed this cloth for you as a gift to say thank you and to greet you. I went and I bought the fabric from them and gave them, they calculated their profit, they're learning all these entrepreneurial skills, and so they were so excited, they were singing and dancing and put the money aside. At the end of their program, they're going to try to build a little small business themselves and continue on. So here is a gift for you to say thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, next slide. Another one of their projects is the community garden. So they learn how to garden and grow fruits and vegetables. And this is also a way for us to create sustainability and to feed our kids their healthy meals. So they get the fruit and vegetables right from our land, from our garden. So one quick story is about Leonard. Leonard was a part of the community club last year. He is super shy, very quiet, hardly get him to say a word. But he showed up every day. He was always on time. He worked hard. And next slide. And so we went. This was just last month. John and I, and on the left side is Martina, the outreach coordinator. We went to go visit his family, and his mom is there in the middle. And so we get in the car. He said, yeah, I just live in the village. He bikes every day to and from the Shade campus. And so we get in the car and start driving, and we're driving and driving and driving. It's deep in the village, just in this mud house. But we went to greet his family and just to see how they were doing, because at the end of his program, we found ourselves in need of a gardener. And so Martina recommended that we hire Leonard because he worked so hard. And so we did, and now he has a job, and so he has income to help support his mom and himself and just create a better life and get a leg up. So that is what we're all about at Shade, is equipping and empowering people to create change for themselves and for their families. And so we are so proud of Leonard. What's coming next for Shade? Every school needs a cafeteria. We need to build a cafeteria. So every year in January, a new school year begins. So the school year goes with the calendar year there. And so every year, our strategy is to add another grade level. So right now, we have 2 preschool classes, a kindergarten and a first grade. And then this January, we're going to add 2nd grade. And then after that, 3rd and 4th, all the way up to 7th grade, which is primary school. And so as we add kids, we also need to build the school so they can come to it. So right now we have just our classrooms, and so we need to build a cafeteria for them to come and eat. Right now, like you see in that picture, they're sitting on mats in a spare classroom, but we want to have a big space for them to come, and tables and benches and a proper place to cook. Right now our cooks are using kind of portable charcoal stoves to cook, so that's what's coming up next. I'm hoping to break ground in January on that, and we are about 76% of the way to our goal, so God is really providing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just to give you information is that because, as we told you guys, we have 7 classes, and we'll be advancing every year to have at least one class level. And so for the next year, we are going to have standard 2. So that means we'll be having like 5 classes from baby class, kindergarten and pre-kindergarten, class 1 and class 2. So right now we have only 1 school bus. And so what I'm asking or recommending is that we know God is the provider, because God is rich. Like, God is really rich. And he really provides according to his glory. And he uses people. Like, he can use I and he can use you. And so what I'm asking from you guys, we know that, of course, I want to call it a challenge. This is just a situation whereby we really need a school bus for next year, although we have to plan goal after goal, and we need to accomplish one thing after the other. So we know that we have a cafeteria, a program, a project that is going to be launched in, like, January. And so by the same January, we need a school bus. So these were the 3 options that we have on those 3 pictures you see. The green bus carries 100 kids at one time, which costs $55,000. And the yellow bus is the one we have right now, and almost it carries 50 to 55 kids, and that costs $35,000. And the last one, we have a mini bus, small kind of like bus, and it costs $13,000, and I think it carries I think so, those children. And so we're just trying to really be creative on what are we going to do, because some of them are vulnerable children. We are planning to have children with albinism that stay a little bit far, and they need protection during the time of from home to school and from school to home, going back home. And so we believe, and we're not in a worried situation, we believe that God is going to do that. Like what God has done until now, all these things, all this success and all these stories, we believe God is at work and he can do abundance in the way he has tried to help us in different things that we can be able to provide as people or children of God. And so that was just an information.
Yeah, so we want to say thank you again for your support and your prayers. You're making an impact in the lives of kids. You're helping to feed them and clothe them and educate them and love them from here with your prayers and your support. So we're so grateful for that and to be with you and for this warm welcome this morning. So to close out, John, apart from being a director, is also a gospel singer. He's slightly famous, a little bit famous in Tanzania, perhaps. You can find him on YouTube. Just write his name, John Magila.
I'm so amazed. This is one of my favorite songs. You know, we singers, we always sing the things that comes from our heart. Like it's a testimony, the things that we really require. Like when God has worked onto our lives, we really want to share with people. And so just to give you information, last year I got an award of a gospel singer in Shinyanga, and that was, of course, I'm a little bit famous. I'm famous a little bit. And so it made me a very good platform to talk about Shade, because I was on the big stage carrying my award, and I was like, guys, we have a school. The name is Shade. You guys, you're welcome, and all those kind of things. So speaking about the song, the meaning of the song is called Sifa Zako, as I spoke before, but it all stands like, you know, when we speak about the behavior of God or how we should praise God, is that it comes the sense of acquiring the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we don't tend to just, you know, talk about the fruit of our Holy Spirit. They should be inside our heart. So this song talks about asking a wisdom from God, like, God, please give me that love. Give me that kindness. Give me that self-control. Give me all those, you know, all those good things, not only in my mouth and all different action I could do. I want them to come direct from my heart, because the Bible says God loves those people who really sing and praise and worship direct from the heart. And so many things, if they're always into the heart, because that's how the water of life comes. There's a place where the water of life comes. And so if these things you're doing direct from your heart, for example, you guys are giving. It does not matter what you're doing. People may think that, you know, don't you ever feel that you're just doing something small. I'm telling you guys are doing something very good in the kingdom of God. And this shows that it really comes from the heart. And so that's the meaning of the song. And of course, I repeat again, my name is John Magila. So you guys got to go on YouTube. I have a couple songs. There are songs in English and in Swahili. You just type John Magila. You got to enjoy all songs. And some of them I've written in a library. I've tried to translate them in English. So don't you worry. If you go and find Sifa Zako music, like the one I've sung today, it's just translated in English. You've got to enjoy. And you can share it to as many people as you can so that we can spread this gospel of Jesus. Otherwise, God bless you so much. Thank you.
I'm going to be John's manager here in the States, because I've been showing his videos to everybody. Hey, you want to? We were at Hat Man Jack's yesterday. I've never been to Hat Man Jack's. I've lived here. We were showing his video there. They were all excited. So they're expecting a video wearing a cowboy hat, right? Amen. We're going to see that. Glory to God. Wow. Well, I don't know what you heard today. I mean, what an exciting story. And really, to get your arms around it, from a little seed of faith, look what has happened. But I feel in my heart, as we have just shared story after story, sitting in our living room, not just about Shade, but about God and all that he's doing in our lives. And our lives are significant. And you might look at something like that and say, boy, that's pretty big, but that's not my life. It is your life. And your seed can grow into amazing things, but you got to plant it first. And you have to step out in faith. And sometimes that's all it takes. And as we've already talked about off camera today, it's not by might, it's not by power. It's our hearts just coming to God and seeing what might happen. I mean, I'm not sure Claire could have even seen what we see today. But this isn't the end. It's still ongoing. And so we're going to be a part of that. How many of you want to go to Tanzania? Got some hands. Good, good. We're going to go again. We've been once. We'll go again. Start saving your pennies. And we'll show, who knows what God wants to do. I look at those buses. I'd like Faith Community Church to be part of that, wouldn't you? It's doable. And as we give, we're going to begin today, start giving towards Shade. Now, this is over and above your regular giving. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when you give at Faith Community Church just normally, you give your tithes and offerings, 20% of everything you give, you may not know this, but it goes to outreach and missions. And every time, any dollar you give. And so we have that available to us, but then the extra giving that God might lay on your heart to do. I mean, God's already spoken to me personally. And so just let, you know, you give according to your heart's desire, and that's all. That's all God. And he will give us an abundance for every good deed. Did you know that? He's just looking for people who would be dispensers. And I'd like to show up for that. How about you? So just pray about that, what that looks like, and let the Lord lead you. And not just our finances, but our prayers. Be praying constantly. And God might wake you up in the middle of the night. What are we? How many hours difference? Like it's noon here. What time is it there? It's 8 in the evening there. Yeah. So you pray at noon, you're praying 8 o'clock there. Keep that in mind. And so the Lord might just lay shade on your heart, or John, or Claire. Now, Claire is here in the United States now. John took her place. And when we were there, Claire, and we didn't see all that happening, but here now, because it's just expanding. She needs more help. You're feeling a little overwhelmed? Because how many of you know sometimes it feels like a runaway train? Lord, slow down a little bit. Hey, listen, don't worry about it. It's not us. It's what God's going to do. And I believe God's going to provide. And I sense in my heart it's 30, 60, 100-fold in the next decade will blow you away, what God's going to do. And we're going to be part of it. And here's the beauty of it. We're in Acts, right? What chapter are we in? Yes, okay. We're in the 8th chapter, right? And we've seen Philip, the evangelist, arise, and he's going to encounter two people. Next week, we're going to see Simon, the sorcerer. He's also going to be meeting the Ethiopian eunuch. He's going to run up to his chariot. In fact, the scripture speaks to, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now, we can pray from afar, but some things you got to go near. Claire went near. She saw it, but then she drew near. And so Philip goes, and he leads this Ethiopian, who's a treasurer of the queen's money. Where was he going from here? Africa. This is a story about Africa. And his life was touched, and a continent was changed. One guy, one lady. One man, one pastor, one little church. What can we do? All things are possible through Christ. I want you to dream big in your faith, and let's see what God can do. And so we're going to, before we leave this morning, we're going to have communion together. It is what we do every week. It's an important time. And at the breakfast yesterday, the Holy Spirit whispered this scripture into my heart. And I don't want you to think about it as we come to the table this morning, because it's the verbiage of shade, like we've been hearing in Isaiah 4, verses 5 through 6. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. See it? Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day. and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and rain. We're applying this to Tanzania, but we're also applying it to Wichita, Kansas. Because that same glory and that same canopy is wanting to cover all things here. And it's just like Jesus said when we started our study in Acts. Jesus said, listen, the Holy Spirit's coming, and you're going to receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's still going on, and we get to be part of it. Amen? Wow. I'm excited. We're celebrating friendship today. I think I shared this in first service, but we took John out for his first steak. We went to Longhorn Steakhouse this week. And the waiter came up and said, what are you celebrating? Birthday, anniversary? I said, well, we're celebrating friendship. And he responded and went back into the kitchen, brought us our dinner, and we enjoyed it. It was good, right? But we weren't going to have dessert because we were full. And the waiter comes out. You know how they do when it's your birthday, right? And he brought this beautiful dessert, and he set it down, and he had written on the plate. We took a picture of this. I love friendship. Wow. We're forever friends with our brothers and sisters who are far away from us. But Jesus called us friends, and he wants us to be friends with one another. And part of our friendship is partnering together. And I believe, I don't know exactly what it's all going to look like, but the other thing, John's a twin. He's an identical twin. And of course, I told him I'm a twin too. And interestingly enough, my brother's name is John, and his brother's name is Joseph. So we kind of got excited about that. So John called Joseph and told him he was with another twin. So I called my brother John, and I told him about Joseph and John, Tanzania. And you know, every year we want to do something special for our birthday, right? What did we do last year? Hot air balloon, right? Yeah. Preached a sermon from 5,000. So I told my brother, hey, John and Joseph are going to go to the mountain in Tanzania, Kilimanjaro, the largest mountain. They're going to climb the mountain. So I called my brother and said, for our birthday, we're going to go climb Kilimanjaro with John and Joseph. Two sets of twins, we're going to do it. My brother said, I'll think about it. So he didn't say no. He didn't say no. So if you want to climb that mountain with us, you might be going, all right, I don't know what that all means. But is this exciting? Aren't you glad to be a part of this? I'm just so thrilled. Hallelujah. We're going to come to the table. I want you to think about this scripture and know that you are part of the canopy. You're part of the canopy. If you're here today, I know this might sound strange to some of you, and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You hear all this talk, say, this is amazing. Something special about this. I'd like to have that. It's very simple. Jesus came to earth and he died for our sins. And he loved us so much. The scripture says God gave his son. So whoever believes would not perish but have everlasting life. This is the message in Tanzania. It's the message in Wichita. It's the message around the world. It's the good news. It's great news, isn't it? But it's not God's love that saves you. It just makes it possible, but it's what you believe. And so if you would want to believe, if your heart is opening up today, I don't save anybody. I don't force people. I know I lived through a season of that where they twist your arm. You got to pray the prayer, read the card, and then you'll be saved. No. It's Jesus speaking to you and saying, I want to be your Savior, if you'll trust me. If that's you, you've never taken communion before, I invite you to come and take communion for the first time. I don't need to pray with you. You just need to come, take it. And if you do that, then at the end of the service, I want you to let me know you did that, and I will pray with you, and we will walk together, and we will learn what it is to walk with Jesus and love him and let him love us. Right? Amen? So we're going to come to the table and just receive it today. Lord, receive us as we take the cup and bread. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Invite you. I just thought something. We're celebrating friendship, aren't we? Jesus said, I no longer call you servant. I call you friend. Get out of here. What do you think the disciples thought when they heard that? This is the cup of intimacy. Jesus is my friend. And no greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for his friend. Well, I think Jesus took it a step further. He died for me when I was his enemy. I wasn't his friend, but he was mine. And he waited patiently for me. He's waiting patiently for you and others who will still come. And this gift keeps giving, and we celebrate it today. Amen. Father, we receive this bread. It is your son's body that was sacrificed for us. It's a sign of your love for us. The blood was shed that we could experience perfect forgiveness. We're not working for it anymore. We stopped that. We're just going to receive it as a gift. It's not our goodness, it's yours. It's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness. It's your work in us, and we just want to say thank you. We love you, and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you, Jesus. If you're able, would you stand with me, please? If you're here today and you took communion for the very first time, would you please make your way to the front when we dismiss? I'd like to pray with you. John and Claire will be out in the foyer. Don't forget to sign the Kansas flag. Leave a little note. Sign the book. Children in Tanzania will hear your words. So you can send it ahead of us, and then we will follow later as God, in God's timing, as he provides. But be sure to greet them. We're not going to be... They're going to be getting on a plane here in just a few hours. And John, you're going to begin a long journey back to Tanzania. It's going to take 2 days. Whew. And Claire's going to go another direction. She's going to Seattle. She's been absent from her husband for a whole month. I would melt down in a month. So I know they're going to, it's going to be a great reunion for them to be back together again. And so we're just grateful this was their last stop on the journey, that we got to be that. So we're grateful for that. Don't know what all that makes possible, but we're sure enjoying the journey. So make sure you greet them. We won't rush off today. And I'll be up here, and Connie will be up here. We'd like to pray with you if you need prayer. Maybe you just need a hug today. Man, I love giving hugs. I'd love to hug you in Jesus. Or you have a physical need in your body, we will anoint you with oil. And we'll pray the prayer of faith over you. And we'll pray for your healing. Maybe you have a mountain like we talked about earlier that's overshadowing your life in a negative way. We want to stand with you, and we're going to speak grace to that mountain this morning if that's for you. Amen? Or maybe God has spoken something else to you today, something very personal. You heard it. They know what they said, but they don't know what you heard. And it might be the Holy Spirit, like Philip. Philip, go. Go near to that chariot. If it was me, I went, why? Why? Go. You'll find out when you get there. I think that's the way it is. You're going to find out when you get there. So I'm excited. I hope you are too. Let me pray over you, and then we'll dismiss you. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story we've heard today. And our life is nothing but a bunch of stories. It's all, but it's your story. And we need to tell that story wherever we go. For the word declares that in the early days they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not value their lives unto death. Lord, we offer ourselves up in this time in which we live. Make us an offering unto you and for all those who will come to you. We are your ambassadors. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.